headlong backward, and oftentimes perish at the base. Aye, said Moe, in vain, on all sides of the peak, various paths are tried. In vain new ones are cut through the cliffs and the brambles. Ofo yet remains inaccessible. Nevertheless, said Babbalanja, by some it is believed that those who by dint of hard struggling climb so high as to become invisible from the plain, that these have attained the summit, though others much doubt whether their becoming invisible is not because of their having fallen and perished by the way. And wherefore, said Media, do you mortals undertake the ascent at all? Why not be content on the plain, and even if attainable, why would you do that upon that lofty clouded summit? Or how can you hope to breathe that rarefied air unfitted for your human lungs? True, my lord, said Babbalanja, and Bardiana asserts that the plain alone was intended for man, who should be content to dwell under the shade of its groves, though the roots thereof descend into the darkness of the earth. But, my lord, you well know that there are those in Mardi who secretly regard all stories connected with this peak as inventions of the people of Marama. They deny that anything is to be gained by making a pilgrimage thereto, and for warranty they appeal to the sayings of the great prophet Alma. Cried Moe, but Alma is also quoted by others in vindication of the pilgrimages to Ofo. They declare that the prophet himself was the first pilgrim that thitherward journeyed, that from thence he departed to the skies. Now, excepting this same peak, Marama is all rolling hill and dale, like the sea after a storm, which then seems not to roll but to stand still, poising its mountains. Yet the landscape of Marama has not the merriness of meadows, partly because of the shadow of Ofo, and partly because of the solemn groves in which the marae and temples are buried. According to Moe, not one solitary tree-bearing fruit, not one esculent root, grows in all the isle, the population wholly depending upon the large tribute remitted from the neighboring shores. Is it not that the soil is unproductive, said Moe, that these things are so? It is extremely fertile, but the inhabitants say that it would be wrong to make a breadfruit orchard of the holy island. And hence, my lord, said Babbalanja, while others are charged with the business of their temporal welfare, these islanders take no thought of the morrow, and broad Marama lies one fertile waste in the lagoon. Chapter 2. They land. Coming close to the island, the pennons and trappings of our canoes were removed, and Vivi was commanded to descend from the shark's mouth, and for a time to lay aside his conch. In token of reverence, our paddlers also stripped to the waist, an example which even Media followed, though as a king the same homage he rendered was at times rendered himself. At every place hitherto visited, joyous crowds stood ready to hail our arrival, but the shores of Marama were silent and forlorn. Said Babbalanja, it looks not as if the lost one were here. At length we landed in a little cove nigh a valley, which Mohi called Uma, and here in silence we beached our canoes. But presently there came to us an old man, with a beard white as the mane of a pale horse. He was clad in a midnight robe, he fanned himself with a fan of faded leaves. A child led him by the hand, for he was blind, wearing a green plantain leaf over his plaited brow. Him Media accosted, making mention who we were, and on what errand we came, to seek out Yila and behold the isle. Whereupon Pani, was such his name, gave us a courteous reception, and lavishly promised to discover sweet Yila, declaring that in Marama, if anywhere, the long-lost maiden must be found. He assured us that throughout the whole land he would lead us, leaving no place desirable to be searched unexplored. And so saying, he conducted us to his dwelling for refreshment and repose. It was large and lofty. Nearby, however, were many miserable hovels, with squalid inmates, but the old man's retreat was exceedingly comfortable, especially abounding in mats for lounging. His rafters were bowed down by calabashes of good cheer. During the repast which ensued, blind Pani, freely partaking, enlarged upon the merit of abstinence, declaring that a thatch overhead and a coconut tree comprised all that was necessary for the temporal welfare of a Mardian. More than this, he assured us, was sinful. He now made known that he officiated as guide in this quarter of the country, and that, as he had renounced all other pursuits to devote himself to showing strangers the island, and more particularly the best way to ascend lofty Ofo, he was necessitated to seek remuneration for his toil. My lord, then whispered Moe to Media, the great prophet Alma always declared that without charge this island was free to all. What recompense do you desire, old man? Said Media to Path. What I seek is but little, 20 rolls of fine tapa, 20 of mats of best upland grass, 1 canoe load of breadfruit and yams, 10 gourds of wine and 40 strings of teeth. You are a large company, but my requisitions are small. Very small, said Moe. You are extortionate, good Pani, said Media, and what wants